What's going on, everybody? This is Hunting Out Loud and your host, Rob Michon, and we're with Preston Meadows. What's up, Preston?
What's going on, Robbie?
Matthew Robinson.
What's going on, guys?
We have some waterfowl hunters right here. The new school guys, man, the young generation. They're bringing back the mullets and all that good stuff. They hunt, fish. There's a generation between us that got lost somewhere. I mean, it's obvious. Right now, they're in the cities burning the freaking place down.
They are.
And now, you know, seriously, you're all this generation, my stepson, and, you know, he's got a big mullet, and Morgan Wallen and all this crap, and you guys are in the hunting fishing. Well, while we was fighting with the other podcast equipment, because I'm still waiting on stuff, I can't really deal with it. Listen, video is so much easier than audio. And now I'm trying to match my audio up with my video. So, you know, I'm not going to last much longer. But these guys are just some waterfowl hunters. They've just been into it for about 4 years. And, I mean, everyone that I talked to had a down year last season. But you all still did pretty good, didn't you, Matt?
Yeah, we killed close to 140 ducks and probably 50 geese. So, yeah. Thanks to a couple good weeks, other than that, it was pretty bad.
I know every time I'd see your all's posts, I was thinking, what am I doing?
Plenty of scouting.
Well, you know, you're talking about scouting, and waterfowl hunting's work. You know, when I'm deer hunting, I'm working right now. I'm scouting, and, you know, I'm running cameras, and I put mineral licks out and all this and that, and I work my way up to it, and then I kind of get set in once I figure out where the deer are. But with waterfowl, it's a totally different game. I mean, you're constantly moving. It seems like, you know, you guys are more veteran at it than I am. What do you think about that, Preston, compared to deer hunting?
It's a lot tougher. Like you said, you can sit right here and you're scouting for deer 24/7 with your trail cameras and corn piles, and you can't do that with ducks. You got to put the miles on the car.
Well, and another thing with deer, you know, once I locate a buck, then – as long as I've been doing it, it just comes down to timing. You guys know this, as young hunters. Yep. Comes down to timing now, but you know he's in the area. I mean, you don't know if duck's in the area from 1 minute to the next.
So, for us, if there's not any ducks around or whatever, you know, we're going to be hunting that morning probably and then hitting the car. And me and him drove to Chillicothe. I can't tell how many times this year we bought our Ohio license. What was the second year we bought it?
Yep.
Bought our Ohio license, and me and him together, because other guys we hunt with work a lot, put the miles on the car and drive and drive and drive until we find whole ducks. It might only be 10 birds before we hunt it the next day if we can get permission on it. And so
I don't know if you guys listened to the John Burton episode I had. And so he hunted, you know, he was waterfowl hunting back in the day when they had the freedom to do a lot of things that we can't do now. Which I don't know, you know, I don't know one thing from another, but just hearing from some of the older guys, you know, I guess pretty much now you can't even hardly put an anchor down unless you have permission from, you know, not even in the Ohio River, right?
Yeah, we've talked to game wardens in the state of Ohio because we found a loaded field and we couldn't find a landowner, and we was going to come in and try and hunt on a boat, on my little John boat, and we couldn't do it. He couldn't have decoy weights on the bottom. You couldn't anchor your boat. And what else? There was a few other rules.
You can't be touching any sticks. Like, it was flooded timber is what it was. Yeah. The side river was up and open fields. No, can't touch the sticks, can't touch the bottom. Nothing can, like, touch any piece of that property without written permission on signed paper.
Can't retrieve your duck if it falls on private property.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I understand. Now you can go out there and fish.
Yeah.
Right.
And your bait can touch their property and nobody's going to say nothing. But when it comes to hunting, it's
big no-no.
Yep.
Well, that hurts because, when it comes to waterfowl hunting, you're limited, man. I mean, you have the water. Mm-hmm. So, say, any river, if you're up Little Sandy or anywhere, just in the middle of the Little Sandy, you couldn't drop anchor, I guess.
You can, and it's the middle of the river channel.
So, the middle of the river channel you can, but if it's, say, it was floodwaters, whatever, you can't.
Oh, so as long as you're in, say you're in the Ohio River,
right,
just not out in the flooded
water. Oh, yeah, you could anchor the boat on the side of the Ohio River and hunt all you want to. But when you go, especially over in Ohio, Kentucky doesn't really enforce as much as Ohio does. But when you get over in Ohio, you touch any side of floodwaters, it's bad.
Yeah, they work over there, don't they?
Yeah, they're hard on them.
Which is good.
Right, yeah.
And that's why we all go over to Ohio.
Yeah.
Exactly. I wish they'd be like that more here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're when it comes to the game wardens, they're just undermanned.
Yeah, right.
And they don't get paid crap from what I'm just the ones I've talked to. Not that they don't do their job because of that, but I don't know how crazy if I'm, walking, you know, and every time they're encountering someone, they have a gun.
Right.
You know they have a gun.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And of course, now everybody hates law enforcement, so oh, they give me a ticket, I'm just going to fall down and start crying. I've been done wrong. Yeah. I deserved it, but this is wrong. Some, you know, I'm not going to. That's what we're creating nowadays. Yeah. You know, we'll get into that with some of the old grumpy guys that come on here.
But
so, how about your all's deer hunting? I mean, we don't want to give. See, one thing I found out doing this podcasting is deer hunters. I mean, they're, you know, you could just tell someone, I'm a deer hunter. They'd be like, well, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to buy this bow. Get this gun. You shouldn't do that. And you have to use this tree stand. Waterfowlers, I'd be like, hey, you know, I just started waterfowling. What y'all got? Nothing. Just figure it out, man. I'd be like, dude, you're the same guy. Just give me all that deer hunting information. Well, yeah, waterfowl is different, man. Is that the truth or what? You all found out?
Everybody's real secret when it comes to waterfowl. Yeah. They don't want to tell you nothing or help you out in any way, shape, or form.
It's hard enough as it is around here, so I guess nobody really wants to help you out any more than they have to.
Yeah, that's a, I mean, I think that's a, you know, waterfowlers from all over the place. It seems to be the deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even on a, see, I've watched them. You know, a deer hunter, all us deer hunters, me included, you know, we get a picture of a rub or something. We're like, ah, you know, you got the picture, you're doing all this crap, making it look bigger and all that stuff, and you're sharing it. Mm-hmm. Waterfowl hunters, you know, they're just smoking ducks. You know they are. You don't see nothing.
Yeah.
You don't see no pictures, and then season's out, they're like, poof, here's the 10,000 ducks I killed this year. I love it. I think you guys kind of do that too, don't you?
We did this year.
We killed two or three birds. Like, when we first started, we killed two or three birds, and we were like tickled to death. We posted over Instagram.
That's what
like,
I am.
Oh, yeah, we're look at us. Now that we know some more people and people are kind of figuring out where we hunt and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They don't get a picture unless it's somewhere we know for sure that they're not going to touch.
And they can figure it out.
And it's going to be later in the year before they even get a picture. I mean, we're not going to post a picture unless it's a lot to really show them.
We've lost spots from pictures, sending pictures to people, and then they come in, get permission, and now we're sharing a spot.
Yep. Well, that's, you know. If they've tried to figure out where I go, and I killed two ducks. Like, where'd you killing ducks at? Yeah. There's only two. I don't even know if they was wild. You know what I mean? So, it's serious business when it comes. But I love it. I never, and I've told this, you know, listeners have heard this a million times, but I just picked up a shotgun one time, and I knew where some ducks were. Mm-hmm. And I'm at that age, man, I need to just try this out. Because I've had Cody Cornwell and, I don't know, Jake Corngable, y'all keep up with the page. You've seen him on here. And, and Nick McWhorter and them guys talk about it. I was like, man, it's a duck.
Yeah.
How hard could it be?
Yeah.
Well, I just happened to show up and be there at the right time. I didn't know how to call or anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I shoot them two right there.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So then I go back, and then I actually try to kill them, and I'm like, this isn't so easy.
No, it is tough.
It's hard.
Unless you're dead on the X, it's tough.
Well, it's a real chess match. Like you said, trying to, you have the wind, and like you said, the X, and then they'll, you know, like I said, now you guys know a lot more about it than I do, but them flying over top of you, and I'm sitting there shaking like a,
you would see him at the beginning of the season.
Because they're, I mean, you cannot move, can you?
No.
I mean, they're sitting there. So we know how turkey is when he's out in that field and he's watching. You can't move. Now you have, you know, a dozen ducks or more.
Yeah.
And they'll go, what, 5, 6? Until they're comfortable, I guess.
Yep. We had, was it 4 bluebills last year? On a little pond we hunt up near Chillicothe. And we were sitting there and they came zipping in. And I bet they circled our decoys probably a dozen times.
At least.
And they never gave it up. And we ended up having to take some shots out at 40 yards. And we ended up killing two of them. He actually got one of them mounted this year.
Oh, did you?
Back,
Bluebill?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They sound like a jet going through your decoys.
Yeah.
They're going so fast.
I'm getting pumped up already.
I'm ready for
it. It's just June, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm mounting everything I kill. Every duck I kill, I'm putting on the wall. I can't help it.
Since I started mounting birds, I've mounted two a year, so I'm up to 8 now. I got a goose coming back here in August.
Pterodactyl.
Yeah. Big old monster, is
it? Yeah, big one. And I got him all stretched out on the wall.
Man, that's going to be sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
7 or 8 foot wide.
Is he really?
He's big. He's
huge. Oh, he's a dandy.
Big late season bird.
Oh, honker.
Yeah.
So I want to get a wood duck, and I know they're pretty common around here, but I think that's...
They're so pretty.
Man, they're beautiful, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, I shot that gadwall, and I didn't even know what the hell it was. And then I was like, you know, I was like, damn, I shoot a hen, or what's going on? I don't know. It's awful. As a waterfowl hunter, you should know, but I didn't know.
That's how we figured it out, too. Yeah. And, shooting them.
But I thought, I thought it was a mallard the way it came in, mm-hmm. and I was just surprised I hit it. And then I get up there, and I was like, so I send a picture to John and Big John Burton. You know, I call him a local legend, and he, you got yourself a gadwall. You know, you don't see them all the time around here. Right. You know, he said they're normally out west of the Mississippi, I guess, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But then we seen some pintails. You know, I was wanting to put one of them on the wall, but, mm-hmm. you know, my shooting skills are suspect at best. My shooting skills ain't as good as your old man's shooting skills on the ball court back in the day.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, he won't listen to this.
I hope not. He'll brag about that for months.
He knows talking about it, he will.
Oh, yeah. He'd hit them threes, man. I remember down at the ballpark. I can remember him come down there. He was cool. The rest of us, you know, we was all talking trash or something. I don't think your dad ever did. No, he just kind of like...
It's hard to believe, honestly.
That is hard to believe.
Now, he may have when he was in high school. Of course, he'd been a lot younger than me, a little bit younger than I was. So, but the gadwall, you know, the pintail, we've seen some pintails. You guys killed pintail yet?
Preston's killed a pintail.
Yeah.
Have you? Man, they're beautiful.
Two now, I think. I mounted one. It's a beautiful mount.
That streamline? Mm-hmm. Good night.
It is awesome. We actually got lucky last year, and me and him killed two Drake Widgeon.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got the Widgeons too? Yep.
First good ones night. We know of in Greenup County.
Anybody's talked to, nobody's ever killed them or seen them, so.
My God.
We got lucky.
Yeah.
See,
we killed five of them this year?
Yeah. Did you really?
We got two separate hunts, yeah.
Lord have mercy.
We must have got a push or nothing.
And that was way down in western Kentucky, wasn't it?
No.
No. Swear. Greenup County.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to throw them a loop out there. I know how they are. They'll be hot-tailing you. You don't know who's listening to this thing.
Okay, I like to brag about the legend.
Well, yeah, you got to. I would. I'd have it at taxidermist before I even knew what it was. I know what it is, but I'm getting it mounted.
Oh, man, him was freaking out.
Yeah,
can't believe it. Well, that's exciting, man. Getting something like that. And that's another thing that's fun about a waterfowl hunting. I mean, you just never know, do you?
Right.
I mean, you never know what's going to move in, and you guys might not see another widgeon for 10 years. Who knows?
They may never come out. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, that's what's exciting. Yeah. So, but you already marked him down, put him in a book. I keep bringing up John just because he's you know, big time waterfowler for years, and he's taught me a little bit that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he was down, I'll just tell you, down Portsmouth. There's no secret to anyone that waterfowl hunts what that's all about. But, and the guy he's with killed an old squall. I'd asked him, I said, is there any bird that was just like a big time surprise, like you all shooting the widgeon?
Yeah.
And he said, one time, one of my buddies killed an old squall, and I guess that's a seabird out
a
there.
Duck.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, sea duck.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, and crazy. You know, now this guy's been hunting for 50 years,
right.
And that's just one.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is crazy. That'll never happen again.
That's like a golden egg right there.
It really is. Yeah, that's a needle haystack for sure.
I'm gonna go broke this waterfowl hunting. You can't help yourself.
Since we've started doing it, I can't even imagine.
I stay broke.
Yeah.
Oh, I asked my wife. I said, I don't know where money goes. And she looked down here. She said,
here's on the wall.
Exactly where it goes.
Yeah.
She said, you mounting everything.
They always told us once we started doing it, you wouldn't have enough money to do anything else. And that's true. I mean, we spent so much money on decoys and shotguns.
It is expensive, ain't it?
Yeah, it's.
What kind of shotguns do y'all prefer, if you don't mind me asking?
We should both shoot Stogers, you know. Oh, I shot a Benelli and a Supernova for a while, and now I've moved over to a Stoger M3500. That's what he shoots, too.
Yeah.
I love my Stoger.
Do you?
Yep.
Well, a lot of people shoot them Stogers. Right. That's pretty much Benelli anyways, ain't it?
Right, yeah. Same. It's more like a knockoff Benelli type deal, but...
I mean, that's what Nick shoots.
We drop them in the water, and we take them up and shoot them.
Yeah, you know how that...
Beat it today.
Right, yeah. And it's like, I paid $400 for mine. I mean, I ain't scared to...
Well, that's another thing. When you're waterfowl hunting, you don't need to be taking a pretty gun.
Oh, yeah, no. For sure, because they get abused.
They do.
Use
I mean,
them as paddles and everything else.
It's a tool, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a tool. It's not a toy. It's a tool.
I agree. Them guys was trying to get me by a Ray Tay. Have y'all heard of them?
Yeah, they're sharp.
Bobby Guy Films.
Yeah.
Hunts with the Lion Dummy.
Yeah.
It must be something fairly new something.
They're like a couple years old, tops.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
They're sharp guns. Yeah.
But, you know, I bought a shitload of podcast equipment, and here we are.
That's right.
Doing this. Waiting on some more equipment to come in. My God. Can't deal with it. But we'll be rolling here Tuesday. We'll have it all in. So we started to get on deer hunting, and I got right back to the waterfowl because I love it.
I can't say I blame you there.
I love
waterfowl all day long.
I'm telling you. It's just so, well, since we'll just go right back to it then. I mean, is there a place, I know it's secretive, but I mean, is there a place that y'all was thinking about going in the future sometime, a trip?
We've talked about it a few times. I'm getting married in January, and we talked about going either snow goose hunting or going on a flooded timber hunt out in western Kentucky for a bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't set nothing in stone yet.
Well, now Ian, my buddy, he goes on a snow goose hunt. Seems like in Arkansas. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Arkansas. And you all see the footage because I'll share it on the Hunting Out Loud page. Yeah. But they put a big old show together because Kane, his dog, I don't know if you've ever seen him come on my show. Do you all follow him?
Yeah.
And of course, Kane's sick. He's got cancer. So they went down on that snow goose hunt and, you know, kind of wanted to put something together. Mm-hmm. He was afraid it might be his last season.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not, but, you know, that's why I got Cash. And, of course, I guess you have the brother to Cash.
Yep, Gus.
Gus, is that his name? Man. And I've never really worked with a dog. And once you start working with one, I mean, there's a lot to it. You know, you think, just throw something out in the yard and they'll pick it up and get it. But, I mean, the commands. And then I'll video myself because just like the other day I shared that on Instagram. You guys might have seen it. But, you know, I watched it and I was like, my gosh, I should be whistling every time I stop him. Mm-hmm. You know, get him in the habit of stopping with that whistle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm got him into casting and doing that stuff. Just get him in good habits. But there's so much in it and you're constantly building just little steps at a time. And then you got to try to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
But Ian is wealth of knowledge. He's taught me a lot. And watching him work with Annie and Kane. And then you just get close to him, man. It's a partnership. That's what he was talking about last night. And I mean, he's hunted with old Kane for 7 or 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But
they turn into your best friend real quick.
Yep.
You know, and that dog, like I said, it's my first time doing it. But I want him to play and be a puppy. But he knows when it's time to work. And, man, he'll just look me in the eyes. Yep. It just blows my mind. Little stinker. He figured out how to get out of that gate. I was talking about last night, on the episode last night. I got that kennel out there. I'll put him in. Because we bring him in here right now. Trust me, he'll be hanging off that wall right there. But so he watches me latch that and put it all together. And you're supposed to, you can put a lock on it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I mean, my God, he's a pup. He's a dog.
Yeah.
But I noticed, you know, usually he's sitting there looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to latch it, and he was watching me latch it. And it just, you know, like when you think someone's casing your house, you're like, something's going on right here. That dude right there across the road, he's acting funny. He just had that look. So I come upstairs here, and I watched him. And he took his nose, and he's starting to hit it. And then finally, my wife friend said, Cash is in the road. You know, I figure out how to chain it up, and I had to start locking it. So I got him a cable, so when I'm cleaning out his kennel or out there weed eating or something, I put him on a cable. We have this road right here, and I mean, I can't let him run loose. He'd get hit.
Yeah.
But so I put him on that cable, and I'm like, you know, he can't get off this.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, my wife, Cash is in the road! Come get him! You know, she freaks out and panics. So, I go get him, and he has his collar on. Because I thought, well, maybe he just pulled that. It's one of the things you screw down the ground. Yeah. I said, maybe he just pulled it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still screwed in the ground, and the cable was still on. Everything looked good. And I was like, how in the world? And then I get thinking, somebody come and turn him loose, you know. So I latch him up again, and once again, I come upstairs here and watch. And I kid you not, he takes his paw and holds that cable down, then takes his mouth and flips that.
Oh,
Holy cow. And there he goes. Running again. So now I have to tape it. They're freaking smart.
Yeah, they're crazy smart.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's any smarter than any other dog. Right. I've never worked with a dog like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to start blindfolding him every time I do something.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Mine's not that smart, but he's figured out how to open the doors to the house and get in the house on his own.
Just watching you.
Yeah.
They're nuts. I'm excited. I don't know, you know, Ian had told me, like, during dove season, I need to get him out and working. There's a fine line in between, you know, teaching bad habits in the field, but as Ian was saying last night, you still got to take him out there, and he has to make mistakes. If you guys played sports, you played baseball. If you played sports, you know, you don't know how to fix it until you see, or the coach don't know how to fix it until he sees you make the mistake.
Right.
So I guess it's kind of like coaching a kid, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So what's your expectations, you know, as far as this year with yours? Or
as long as he'll go out and get a duck and bring it back to me and not jump the gun when we shoot, I'll be happy.
That's the main thing, not jump the gun and stuff. But,
he's a retrieving machine. He's swimming good. And
yeah.
He loves to retrieve. He'll sit there and throw it until he passes out.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd do it all day long if you'd let him.
It's a blast, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Well, and you build his drive. Mm-hmm. That was something that they told me. Build his drive. You know, I haven't started holding cash back, but he's teething. He's about to get his adult teeth, I'm sure.
Gus has lost a few, too.
So he told me after that, then it was, you know, here soon we'll start the force fetch. I don't know if you talked to anybody about that. So he said, let him get his adult teeth, then start the force fetch, and then start keeping him from breaking. Because now we've built Gus and Cassius drive by letting them just go. Now we'll start working on the discipline. Who knows? Shit, he may never get a duck, but I don't know. It's been a blast working with him.
Right.
You know, I'm learning more than he is. Right. He'll only be as good as Gus and Cassius will only be as good as what we are to train them. So it's up to us.
I'm not a very good trainer, so mine might not turn out.
Well, you're
out
new.
Good.
Yeah, you're new at it like I am, you know, and it just takes, it's just experience like anything else. It's just experience figuring this stuff out. And it's so much, you know. Like I said, I never dreamed of that, how much it takes. But I want to do it myself instead of taking him somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure.
It just seems, you know.
Because you're building a friendship, a partnership with the dog. And
I mean, it's been, what, $2,500, $5,000? Let somebody do it.
It's expensive to have somebody train it for you.
When you get a chance, check out Stoney Dennis on YouTube. Now, he's not just a big waterfowl guy. He's just a dog trainer. He's out of Lexington. Mm-hmm. But you'll like how he talks about things. He does things a little different than some of your hardcore waterfowl guys.
I think I might have watched some of his stuff.
And he's
on
fun. Now, he's, you know, he might have a shirt on and say, I'm not, you know, I'm trying to raise my kids not to be communist or something like that. He's hardcore, you know, he's American all the way, but ain't wrong with that. But I get a lot out of watching him. And then I have a DVD that I'll give you that Ian give to me. Just remind me to give it to you before y'all leave. And, you know, both of you can use it. You have a dog?
Mm-mm. I'm probably going to get one next year. Mom says no more dogs in the house, so I'll move out. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys be using Gus anyways.
Yeah. I'm excited to see him grow and learn stuff.
Work.
We better be using that kayak.
That's our dog.
I'm the dog for 2 or 3 years now.
Well, I was using a fishing pole with a musky lure.
That's how we started out. Yeah. And then we realized, oh, we can't get those birds unless we get a John boat. And now we're in a kayak. And so if we can't wait it, it's kayak. And that's how it is.
Well, it opens up the game right there with the dog. Big time, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
We've lost a lot of crippled ducks over the years.
Huh. Just can't chase them all
now. I'm telling you right now, chasing a damn goose, I'm sorry, with your waders on.
It's awful.
That was the moment I said, I'll have a bleepity bleep dog because we're going to keep this clean. But, you know, the camera was rolling, but we have to cut all that footage out because you're not outrunning a goose even when you shot it. And it's hurt.
Here's a funny story for you. Talking about crippled geese. I know he wasn't there.
It happens, doesn't it?
This was, 3, 4 years ago, early goose season. So I was out in Carter County goose hunting with a buddy of mine. He had permission on this farm to hunt. So they were doing a tournament or something. Maybe, I don't know what they were doing, maybe a fishing tournament.
I could not get them to go. I was like, come on, let's go. It's loaded. Let's go. And they weren't really into it yet. Like, they had duck hunted, but they weren't really about the goose yet. So it's like, well, me and him will go hunt it. So we went out there and we shot our limit. And the last bird we shot sailed off, went over there in the corn, chased him down. It was a cut cornfield. Chased him down, and it was a dairy farm is what it was. But they don't have a dairy farm. There's nothing there, no more cows or anything. So chased him in the barn. This goose is running. I mean, as fast as he can go, gets in the corner of that barn. And, I mean, he's got that neck all cocked up, and he's hissing at me. And I mean, he's like a live goose, but he just can't fly. He's just crippled. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how are you going to kill it? I can't shoot it in this barn. I can't shoot this wall out.
Right.
So he says, there's a shovel right here. Grab that shovel. I kid you not, that's probably going to go down animal cruelty. The PETA is going to come take me off.
Yeah, they're on me all the time. I'm a big Tess Telly fan.
I grab that shovel, and I kid you not, I smack that thing in the head as hard as I could. And it went limp for a second. I jumped back up and was doing the exact same thing over the head one more time. As hard as I could, and stepped on his head and wrung his neck. But that's the meanest one I've ever seen. I mean, he was not going to give up, and I had to kill him with a shovel.
Them things are tough. That's a good one right there. Yeah. You'll remember that for the rest of
your life. Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that one. That was probably, I mean, that was some of my first geese I ever killed. Hey, we killed a few, but.
Things like that happen, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot like that one bird killed there a couple years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
We were in a cornfield up down by the river. Our first volley of geese, we laid into them. What did we kill, 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Well, we jumped up, piled them all up behind us. You know, you lay them all down like sleepers so they look like more decoys.
Mm-hmm.
Where comes another volley of geese. We lay into them, and we're all sitting there just hooping and hollering, and we hear one honk. We all lay back down. We think, oh, shoot, there's more geese coming.
There he goes again.
And we hear it again. Well, I looked at him and said, what the hell? It's right there behind us.
Mm-hmm.
We raise up, and one of them geese we had just shot and was dead, a stone cold dead. Is up walking through the field.
Oh my gosh. Did y'all get him?
Oh, yeah. Bird turns around, clicks off his safety. I got it. Boom! Right through the decoy bag. Shoots a hole in all my decoy bags.
Oh my
it was
gosh.
Like 20 yards away, and he was right behind that. I mean, he didn't know because they had corn stalks laying over him, but I mean, they right through it.
He
but,
made a pillow out of it, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, he dusted it.
See, that's fun of waterfowl.
It's memories you'll never forget, though.
Yeah, just with your buddies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the deer hunting solo, and
right.
I get, you know, I don't know about you all, but it messes my head.
Oh, it does me too.
Yeah.
But waterfowl hunting, it about makes you quit deer hunting.
With your buddies. We know a lot of waterfowl hunters.
It ran me out of deer hunting for a couple of years there. When I was hooked on the early goose stuff and the wood ducks, and I didn't have any deer on camera, good deer on camera that year anyway, so I was just kind of phased out of deer hunting for a little bit and kind of quit shooting my bow. And
well, it's just a totally different pace.
Right.
Like I said, you're with your buddies.
Yeah.
It's a ton of work. You know, just deer hunting, when I'm hunting one of these bucks, it's just me and that buck, and I get a headache. But, I mean, it's my passion.
Right.
A lot of people's like, oh, he's not a true deer hunter. He talks about deer hunting. I just get ass whipped by listening to a lot of you deer hunters. That's what the problem is, to be honest with you, because you all whine and cry about everything that's going on. But this new generation, they're bringing back the mullets, and they're big-time hunters. All that's over. Whatever happened in between mine and yours, what's that generation right there called in the middle?
I'm not sure what it's called.
Is that generation? Is that Generation X? Or is that the one below us?
It's generation that shouldn't have happened generation. It's the generation
no
that
comment
I'm talking
on that. That's
yeah, that's my view. Sorry. Sometimes I forget where I'm at. But anyways, that generation. But no, waterfowl hunting, man. With your buddies and cooking and the blind and stuff like that, man. So I want to go down to Arkansas or wherever. You know, everybody talks about Arkansas, I guess.
It's, oh, yeah. That's
big time.
Huh?
Yep.
And we are going out west. I'm not allowed to say where. I'll get, you know, banned from the crew.
Public land or private?
It's public.
Public, yeah.
You
I want to do that one time. I just like, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guys go out to, like, Montana and South Dakota and stuff like that, and they do, like, those freelance hunts, and they'll go for a week, and I guess you can get permission super easy out there. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah, it seems like.
And nobody really hunts out west. Out in the,
they don't.
In the prairies.
Mm.
And they just find birds everywhere. I listen to a lot of podcasts of guys doing that, so.
Well, I have to tell you a funny story about it, and you guys seen Nick McWhorter on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick and I, you know, he's waterfowl hunting, but not around here so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we struggle.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to find a spot.
Shoot,
so we have a blast. We just go. We kill two or three ducks, or just shoot at something.
Yeah, we're happy. Around here, you're chasing the 30 or 40 ducks in the Greenup City Park most of the time.
Yeah, seriously. Somebody go down to the park and shoot them ducks over here.
Seriously.
Somebody go down to the sewer plant and get them ducks off that.
I ain't kidding.
But, you know, so Nick goes out west. He don't mind me sharing this. I think he shared it last night. We'll share it again. I haven't posted that one yet. But, so he goes out with this big crew that he doesn't normally hunt with. Mm. And now we've been struggling. You know, just killing two or three here or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he goes out, and they give the big lecture, don't shoot any Susies. Which I know that's pretty much, everybody tries not to shoot a Susie. And, well, you know, I guess. I don't know.
Not us.
Ian was talking about last night. He said just, if you know, you have a limit.
Around here and it comes to the decoy.
No, I promise you that.
That's why they have wildlife biologists, in my opinion. But, you know, being waterfowlers, you've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
From a lot of the hardcore guys at Crown Wine about like somebody saying that buck was 2.5 years old, but you know, who gives a crap?
Yeah.
But so he says right off the bat, he said this Susie comes. He said, Rob, it's like 5 yards, and he said the wind was blowing our back so much. He said it's just sitting there floating.
Yeah.
He said just floating, and he said I just. He said the guys was like, don't shoot Susies. He said it didn't bother me a bit. But
I would have wasted her too.
Yeah, he said I couldn't have, he said I told him, you know, he's like, I think he was trying not to.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I mean, he said it's just sitting there floating.
Yeah.
He said it couldn't land, I guess, but I don't know.
I have that problem not being able to wait too. Especially when we got 2 or 3 birds and decoys and 20 working.
How can you?
Me and Bird will be sitting there. We're watching the big group. He don't even see him. Like, we're sitting there calling, and I'm calling this big group, and he's calling these little birds, and there'll be 2 or 3, and then he comes in, and he's like, kill him. I'm like, wait. There's 20 dumping out now. He's like, too late. So we'll kill 2 or 3. I mean, it's fun.
Well, I tell you, the second day I went out after I killed those two, I was waist deep in this slough or whatever. Like I said, you know, and I just hit it right, I guess, accidentally. I mean, I didn't even have a call. I didn't know how to call. I just seen, when I was out there hunting those, I seen all the birds land down that one and get flushed out. I was like, yeah, in the morning, I'll just go down there and sit there, you know?
Yeah.
And trying to figure this out. And here comes them teal, I guess. Oh, them little ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we was talking about the mallards, how they'll circle you 2 or 3 times. Well, I just hear,
yep. That's exactly what you're
and they're right in front of me. And I have my gun, you know, like, on the tree. I'm backed up into a tree, and they're just right in front of me. I was like, I'm just pick my gun up and shoot them, you know, whatever. So I just barely moved. I was like, what the?
Yeah.
I couldn't even get a hold of my gun.
They're so fast.
Dude, have you all killed them things?
Yeah, last year. We laid into a group.
So I guess you about have to call them suckers in, because, I mean, they just,
okay.
I don't know.
So, we've probably only killed, what, like 5 or 6 teal?
Are they not fast or what?
Oh, my God. There's.
I call them little duck missiles.
It's stupid.
We had probably 50 or 60.
Oh, yeah. We've probably only killed like 5 in our 5 years hunting. Like,
yeah.
We killed one while we were goose hunting one time. It was the mix of the wood duck season and the teal season.
So that's when, they're like wood ducks. They're early.
Yeah, that's when you get them, right? Deal.
We still don't see them much.
No. We see some green wings. We kill a lot of green wings, actually. I take that back. We did kill a few green wings this year, didn't we?
Yeah, we killed 4 or 5.
But the blue wings. We don't ever see those, hardly.
I've killed one blue wing since we've been hunting. And that was the only group of blue wings I've ever seen.
Yeah. I hope I don't kill one because I don't have to get mounted.
Oh, they're so pretty.
They are
they're
pretty.
Beautiful.
I should have mounted it, and I didn't. Yeah. I didn't know what
I had. Well, I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know what the heck?
But then, till we saw this year, we were hunting a spot up in Ohio, like, what was it, Lucasville, probably?
Probably.
Close to Lucasville. It was about 45 minutes out of here, and we just hear, whoosh, come over once, and then comes over again, whoosh, and right there in front of us, there's like 40 on the water. Like, what in the world? Where'd these come from? Like, we didn't hit a call or nothing. We're just sitting there, and they just landed. And some more birds came in, and we shot those other birds. Those birds jumped up and went on the other side. And then when they jumped back up and came back to us, we were like, we got to shoot them. Like, they were here and gone before you even knew it. So when they were almost out of the decoys, we just started laying until we killed, like, 4 or 5. But they're just so fast. I mean, they're here.
What is it, like, from
10 yards?
100 and, to nothing.
Yeah.
That's the quickest I've ever shot 3 shells in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, you just see a wad coming in, and it's just... unload your gun as fast as you can.
Get it close. And
just
pick out like an automatic.
just pick out the middle of the ball and start shooting.
Well, John was telling me that because I was missing them. And John told me, well, of course, those you can't really do. But he said, this is what he told me, and it helped me. And you guys may do it, I don't know. But John said, just start at the tail when he's flying. He said, what you're doing, you're trying to, he said, you're shooting behind him because, you know, I was aiming at the head. He said, just start at the back, and as soon as you get at the head, just pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And I started doing that on the ones, you know, that mm-hmm. I could, and, you know, I hit maybe one out of ten after that.
We used to be like that.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably worse than that, honestly.
Yeah.
We were pretty bad there.
They always give me a hard time because they always call me one and done because they'll unload their gun every time. No matter how far the birds are, they're going. He's going, at least him, he's going to shoot his gun every single time. And if I don't have a shot, I'm not going to take it. Like, I'll shoot my first bird and he drops. And if the other ones aren't even close, I'm like, I'm not going to waste a shell on it. He's just like, screw it, I'm going to shoot at him.
Just let him rip.
But they just give me hard time.
Kill him unless you shoot at
him. Yeah, let him go.
If I unload my gun, that means there's a lot of birds in the decoys.
Right.
It's just, I don't know.
Well, my problem was where I deer hunted so long, I'm you know, always waiting for that perfect shot.
Yeah.
And
I think that's probably my problem, too. I'm waiting on that one bird to come do it just perfect, and I shoot him. And then, I don't know, I just don't – really, I'm watching that bird the whole entire time. He hits the water, then I'm trying to find another one. There's another one close I'm shooting. But
you've gotten a lot better, though, here.
Yeah.
Past year.
This past year, well, especially when it's me and him. When it's me and him, I do a lot better because usually it's four or five of us, and everybody else is dropping these birds, and the rest of them are getting out fast. But when it's me and him – me and him together, we're pretty deadly, I'd say.
Yep. Man, I can't wait.
Those weeks when it's just me and him and everybody else is working, we got that cold front coming in, and we got three or four hunts lined up in a row. It's going to be good.
But you guys got a lot of years ahead of you, so a lot of good times to come.
Yeah.
Waterfowl, you'll be on trips and all that good stuff, no doubt.
Still don't have any money in my bank account.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's fine.
I don't like having money in my bank account. I like spending as fast as I get it. You know? Just in case. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow or not. I've been told the kids, like, listen, ain't going to be nothing left. I'm gone. So just get ready.
Yeah.
So I can tell you. All right, Dad. So you have my deer head. You sell them.
That's right.
Roadhouse will buy them.
$50
on Facebook. Roadhouse.
Hey, you know, I did see one. I don't know if I ever told this story on the podcast, but it's been a... Several years ago, I was hunting public land over here in Ohio. And as I was coming up the road, this doe crosses the road, and she was in heat. And this monster, I'm telling you, you know, I hate putting numbers on him. He was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
But he had these two distinct big old brow tines. Mm-hmm. And he was a big 12. And he just had all these characteristics you just can't forget. And he just steps over in a ditch. And I'm like, gosh, now I know I can't shoot this deer standing in the road. Right. And I know that, you know, I could kill a big buck in my backyard anytime. No. I'm not that guy. But now you're sitting there looking at 190s or 200s. I'm thinking, is that public land?
Yeah.
Because if I can step over in this ditch on that side of the road, I honestly would have probably shot him. But I just didn't know if it was or not.
Right.
Well, I'm in the middle of nowhere, and up comes the hill, comes another vehicle. And that doe, you know, you guys have hunted long enough, I'm sure, when them does act like that, they just sometimes are weird.
Yeah.
You know, you might see one right here in the mailbox or something, and a buck right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's where they was.
Yeah.
That's what they was doing. So here comes this guy, and it was the water guy, water meter guy. Little old Rodney Carrington-looking dude. Little short guy, and he had the same voice. Hey, buddy, it's my land. Oh, I was like... Geez. I'm just looking, hell, hit you got, you know, he's in my camouflage, just get your bow and shoot that thing. Now, he's talking like that, and they're just kind of looking.
Yeah.
You know, they was just in that mode. And I was like, all right. So I'm trying to sneak, and he's sitting there hollering. I should just grab my bow, stepped off the road where I was legal, and shot it, but I was still thinking this ain't right. And, you know, I was trying to justify it in my head, and how am I going to... You don't get many chances at caliber buck. So anyways, I fart around there and the buck goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Several years later, like it was just probably 2 or 3 years ago, I see on Facebook somewhere, someone had posted a picture of that deer. Someone had killed that deer and had it mounted and someone had stole the head. I can't remember where I seen it. But, you know, other people had shared it and said, you know, someone stole my deer head. And I was like, that's that damn deer. It was that deer.
That's crazy.
Is that not crazy?
That's crazy. That's insane.
It just haunted me.
It'd have been
haunting me. I mean, I thought of that, but, yeah. Yeah, old Rodney came up there. Kill it! Are you kidding me? That's the biggest buck I've ever seen on my land. Kill that thing. You know, he was hilarious.
Oh, geez.
But I didn't do it. I hesitated. I mean, I had it 25 yards. I was thinking, I'm standing in the ditch with some water meter guy behind me, and this is what I do. This is what I love to do, go out there and figure him out. I'm not saying that if I had, like, 10 more seconds to think about it, I'd have shot it.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest with you. Oh, but yeah.
Anybody in the right line of
wood. Anybody would. Yeah. Especially when you got permission, the guy standing next to you, right behind your shoulder, shoot him. Better shoot him. He's moving. Hey, he's gone. That's what I remember he saying. Hey, he's gone. What was your problem, mother? In the back end, I was shooting ASA and IBO, so he was smoke city. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't no getting. But things happen for a reason. And then he ends up getting shot and get stolen, so he got away again.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. So, y'all got any cams out or any of that stuff? I already asked you.
Yeah, I got
5 cameras
out. Right? Three. I think that's about the average. Everybody I talk to is like 5 or 6 cameras.
Yeah.
See, now these other guys, Brandon Phipps, he'll be coming on. Have you all heard of Brandon?
I've seen him talk about
him. He's with Team Radical. You guys probably seen Team Radical.
Yeah.
And Jake Corngable, he's with Experienced Outdoors. Everybody's with someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which is cool. They're great guys. Man, they get on my rear end because I use them like $30 cameras. Buy some cameras.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, is there?
Same way.
Well, you know, on my mineral licks, it's no big deal.
Right.
But, you know, when rut and pre-rut starts coming in, I do lose some picks. And here's another thing I need. You know, when they start throwing down the scrapes and the young bucks start throwing down the scrapes, I need to go to the cell cam. Because when I see that first mature buck, okay, boss, I got to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because time's so...
Right.
You got to get that time right. Mm-hmm. You know that.
I'd love to have some cell cams. It'd help me out tremendously.
In the rut. I need to get at least 3, probably. If I had 3...
Yeah.
Like you said, in rut, because... You know, you might just have to adjust 60, 70 yards. And I've hunted so many, you know, places I've hunted so long, I kind of know where they're at or where they normally run during the rut. But, like I said, it might be 100-yard different there for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And them cell cams can help you.
Oh, for sure.
This is the hot ridge right here. I've been on this ridge, and now I'm over here wasting time on this other one.
Yep,
I've been there and done it. Hunted a week somewhere else and came in and checked the camera, and he was right there for 3 days straight.
Oh, gosh.
It kills you.
I'll show you a picture of a buck that I was chasing this past year. I can't deal with it.
I'm saying
so that one you put on Facebook there, or Instagram maybe? Story? Big wide deer.
Yeah, he's one of them.
Oh, yeah, that's a big old deer. I was telling them, but I don't think they saw it. But
I'll show you on here. I got video, and I cannot deal with that deer. He made it, you know, through deer season, I know for a fact. And
they'll haunt you.
If he made the, well, he just, you know. It's one of those things that I was going to hunt West Virginia with that crew up there at Appalachian Rain Crew. And then I had Kentucky. I had 3 weeks vacation. So I'm going to go to Ohio. I know these big bucks are in here. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that buck was in there. And the farmer, he said, well, we got a big one in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to give it. I'll tell you all where it is when we get off here. You know, tell the wrong people. Shit.
Sure, no.
I mean, when I was down there eating lunch, damn Team Realtree and all them people down there, and they are, too. They know where they're at. But, so I have a picture of one that's in the 160s. I just checked my cams, and I took a picture of my phone, you know, because I was staying down there on a cot and all that good crap. Yeah. I said, well, I think I got a picture of him. Here it is. Oh, no, not that one, you know. Mm. I was like, good Lord. You know, and I've got cameras. I had 8 cameras out on that place. So I'm like, how in the world? And he keeps telling me I'm seeing him. And he's telling me where he's seeing him. Mm-hmm. And I can't figure out how he's getting past my cameras or even getting past me. So I get off in a field, and I watch towards the farmer's house. And there's one little area of brush. And there's hardwoods everywhere. But there's one little area close to the house. And that big old monster buck was staying in there. And what he was doing, he's watching this field. And when these hot does would come out, or does would come out, he'd wind check them or whatever they do, scent check them, and then he could watch me walk in. He's watching me.
Yeah.
Walk in. So I was like, all right. So I come all the way around, set the tree stand in, blah, blah. I can't talk about it. He gets away, and this goes on for 2.5 weeks, and I'm hunting daylight to dark. Mm-hmm. And in the back of my head, I'm like, man, I was going to be hunting a Kentucky rut with a rifle. Yeah. I mean, that's a slam dunk, you think, right? Yeah. I'm going to West Virginia hunting 7,000 acres with, you know, Brenton Bradley and David Miller. Mm-hmm. Good night. I'm going to kill a monster buck here, and here I am. I got bucks running all over me, and I cannot kill this buck. So it just got to the point that I started making excuses, and I'm, you know. So here comes this nice little buck that I've seen like 20 times. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to grunt at him. If he comes back, I'm shooting him. He came back. I was like, yep. Goodbye. Now, I was tickled and had a good time.
Yeah.
But and I was tickled with the buck, don't get me wrong, but you got to be willing to eat a tag if that's the game you want to play. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. We don't have to play that game.
Sounds familiar, don't it?
You had a rough year last year.
Yeah.
Did you go through that, Matt?
Last year was, I would call it the first year I'd been back in it for, since probably 2016, that's the last time I'd really been after one deer particularly. And not, they're, him and Bird are big time deer hunters.
Show him the picture of that year. I'm going to show you this picture real fast. When I first seen it, I figured it was the Kentucky state record 8-pointer.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the biggest 8-pointer I've ever
Lord, don't
seen.
Mention where it's at.
It's already dead. And
oh, is it dead?
Yep. Last day against
season. But it looked a lot bigger in velvet.
Yeah.
Last day against season, he got killed.
I don't know if you know.
The last day.
Yep.
The last evening, he got killed.
Have you ever seen Andrew Meadows' deer that came out of Lully? It's a big 8-pointer.
Seems like it.
I think he went 154.
Yeah. Has it been a few years ago?
Yep. Yeah. This one swallows it. Hmm. I mean, it's...
Hold on, Pete. Oh, I seen that deer. Okay. Kyle showed me the picture of that.
Kyle Gross?
No. Kyle...
Oh, Sexton. Yeah, I sent
so
that.
You must have sent it to him.
Yeah, I sent it to Kyle. So...
I will say something about Kyle. I never asked where it was. But I was like, Kyle, is that close to you? I can't say.
No, it wasn't close to Kyle.
Kyle's a good kid.
You can trust him.
Yeah.
You can trust Kyle. Well, you know that.
Yeah, I can trust him. But... So, I got on that deer probably... early September, I'd say, is when I first got permission on that farm and was chasing that deer hard, and then had pictures of him all year long. Had pictures of another probably 150-inch 10, actually 12, I guess he was 12. Pictures of both of those deer, and then I had some young 8s, probably 125, 138s. And they're like, you'll shoot one of them little deer, you'll shoot one of them. I'm like, I can't. How do you shoot a deer when you got 160, a couple 150-plus deer running this farm? You can't do that. They're like, oh, you see one of them 8s, you'll kill it. So I saw a decent 8. November the 3rd, I think. I hadn't had a picture of either one of the big deer in a while.
Mm-hmm.
November 3rd, I had a decent 8 come walking through. I had it on camera and everything. Didn't shoot him. I was like, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then both those deer disappear. I actually didn't have a shooter on camera for till the end of November. Well, I guess that, what, November 20th, probably like that. Right before gun season goes out, that big deer shows back up. And like right after daylight. I mean, it was just barely pushing where it turned dark. Had 3 pictures of him walking away from the camera off a scrape. Like, all right, here we go. So I hung a stand, got back in there, and hunted, what, 100 twice, probably?
Probably.
2-3 times. And I'm like, any second here, I'm going to kill this deer, like, a couple days. As soon as he makes it past gun season, get him back on a winter pattern, get him back on food, and I'll kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call from my cousin the last day of gun season. I don't know what day that was, but last day of gun season. Hey, my dad just killed this big old deer. I was like, what is he? Like, what's he look like? Send me that picture. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
And it was, what, 2 or 3 miles from where you were getting pictures of?
Easy. 2 miles from where I was. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, that's the rub. Yeah. But, like, to think
on, well, it does.
On a Friday, he's on my farm here, and
yeah.
I got 150 acres of radius just locked up all around. I got 3 or 4 farms locked up where nobody can touch them.
Yeah.
And I got a picture of him there, and then, Sunday, he's 2 miles down the road, not even close.
Well, during the rut, you know, and it makes me think about a guy that that I know that hunts out Alcorn. You guys know where Alcorn is.
Got to be Elkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
he probably told you a story then. It's the elder.
I already know this.
Where he gets a picture of that one deer and then kills it on his lease. He gets a picture at his home farm one evening or day or something. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, he kills it on his lease, which I think is 6 miles away or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
Crazy how far they move. But
yeah, so anyway, you've heard that story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I thought for sure that deer was dead to rights. But he made it through gun season. I was like, he's dead for sure. And then
those tines on that deer.
I think he ended up going 173 or something.
It hurts.
It really does. I was sick. I couldn't believe it. Here I am passing those deer.
Well, I mean, and it's part of it.
Right, it's just part of it. And so this year I'm running cameras, running mineral stuff, shooting my bow already, ready to get into it. But
well, I tell you, last season with the, in my opinion, and there's a lot, of course, you guys know how many acres. There's acorns everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I figured the early season trick that we all play in Kentucky, you know, might be tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. But anyways, I like all those guys that, you know what some of them guys do? Early season, this is no joke. The guys, you guys listening, some of you, that do the little hunting shows and crap like that, I'm going to get burnt down.
You are.
But they like to put their corn piles behind a tree or something like that.
Yep.
So when they're filming, you know.
Can't see it, but it's there. Yeah. And nobody else knows it except for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm going to shoot it right in my damn corn pile.
Yeah, who cares?
It's a 50-pound food plot.
I never done that until the last 2 or 3 years. Mm. I never hunted early season. But if you're going to hunt Kentucky, do it now during the rut in Ohio. Pre-rut or any other time, and I guess late season would be a good time to do it here in Kentucky or in Ohio if you're not on public land, but that's the only time that I do it. And there's a lot more to it than what people think. Now once you get them coming to there, but you know, people have to understand, and you guys know this, them bucks set up on that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it ain't like they don't know you're not coming to there, so you got to kind of
work them. They're
smart, man. They're sharp. But if you can get them, in my opinion, the first 2 weeks is the best chance here in Kentucky. And then maybe, I guess, late season.
Yeah.
Because the rut, I mean, either. You might have a buck like that run through, or you never, who knows where he's at.
I hate the rut. I love hunting it and watching the deer running and stuff, but
I like it in Ohio.
Inconsistent.
It's especially here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm in Kentucky, I'm hunting a specific buck.
Yeah.
When I'm hunting in Ohio, I'm hunting terrain.
Yeah.
Because I'm finding big buck and stuff like that, and then big buck territory, and then I just hunt the terrain. And first buck that I see that I like, I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah.
But here, you know, you're kind of normally hunting that one or two buck.
When I'm hunting in on those two bucks, like I was telling you about, and I don't see either one of them in the rut, I'm not surprised because it's hard to say where they're at. It's just two deer. Like when I go to Ohio and hunt public land or whatever, you don't know what you're gonna see. They come running from every which way, and you might see a 160, you might see a 120, you don't know, but just buck after buck after buck.
It just seems like the buck doe ratio in the places I hunt in Ohio is a lot better, but they fill their doe tags.
Yeah,
I know the guys a lot, and I'm guilty of it. I got to start filling my doe tag. Everybody says I hunt cuz conservation. You don't fill your doe tags.
Yeah,
you know, you really should be filling your doe tags.
That's one thing I don't.
I don't either.
I haven't shot a doe in 3 years.
I shot a doe 2 years ago.
I'm terrible about it. And now this year, of course, I say this every year, I'm going to shoot a doe. And what happens is, I don't want to do it early season while it's hot.
Right.
And of course, we're honed in on our bigger bucks.
Yeah. And then you get towards the rut, and you're like, I want to shoot one in the rut.
And now we're waterfowling.
Yeah.
And you're like,
there ain't no time for hunting.
You really don't, do you?
No. I mean, it's
less late season or something.
Divorce or something by the.
We go back to duck hunting every time we talk about this, but. We don't have time to deer hunting toward when the rut comes in, or when duck season comes in. We don't have time to.
Well, you guys are going to be running. No. And the equipment that we have to pack, or you guys, I'm sure. I got me a little sled, you know. I got the little sled. Yeah. I feel pretty cool packing that thing around. Got it full crap.
So now that we're hunting Ohio, October the 3rd or whatever, the first weekend Ohio duck season comes in for the first time. They have three different duck seasons. So when October the 1st runs around, I'm kind of taking a break from deer hunting then, and I'm duck hunting, and then it goes out, and we're deer hunting again through the rut, and then Thanksgiving Day rolls around, and then we're straight ducks from the rest on out.
It's too much fun.
Yeah.
I seen a bunch of black, no, I shouldn't say a bunch, but I seen some black ducks last season. That's the first, they're a pretty big duck, ain't they?
They decoy so good.
Oh, do they?
It's just like a mallard, it really is.
Yeah.
Which they're like a cousin of a mallard, I guess you'd call them, but.
Well, I'll tell you, I found this spot in Ohio. I'll tell you guys where it is when we get off here. But anyways, it's big old swampy place, and it's another place that I deer hunted, and I've always seen that place full of ducks, and it's hidden.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just telling you, nobody knows where it's at. And I know this because there's a crap load of waterfowl in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's a couple houses up this lane. So I go to the the last house, and the guy's out, and we stop and talk to him. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's all public, honey. He said, now that one guy down there, he thinks he owns everything. He said he can be a butt. Yeah. So we stop or try to talk to him. Just be courteous. I mean, we don't have to. As long as you're not within 100 yards of his house, from what I understand, you're good. And it's all public land. So he don't answer whatever. And, of course, now we're about 600 or 700 yards from his house on the back side, and there's ducks everywhere. You know, first shot, here he comes, blowing horns, coming up my truck, which that's a bad deal, you know.
Yeah.
And it just didn't turn out good.
Yeah.
But we'll be going back in there. I'm going to talk to the game warden, Darren. I can't think of his name over there. You guys may know who I'm talking about. And, you know, just let him talk to the guy.
Right.
But, you know, hunter harassment, they can get in trouble for that crap, too. And that's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
We've been in the same boat last year. Oh,
yeah, for sure. We had permission, rent permission on this farm. And it butts up to another farm, and they had cattle on it. And obviously, we're not shooting the cattle. We're 300 yards away from the cattle. We're not even close to them. But the first shot that morning, we fired off a couple shots of some birds, and here they come. Hey, we got cattle over there. We got cattle over there.
Well, like you could shoot a cat.
Yeah, we're not even close to them cows, man.
They came down, took pictures of our license plates, and they tried to talk to them, and they took off.
Drove up and down the road just as we're trying to work birds. They're sitting there blowing the horn, flaring these birds out here and everything. You know, it's...
See, that...
There ain't a place for that.
No, game warden can get them on that if you want to call and...
It's ridiculous.
That hunter harassment. We're going to get you guys. Hunter harassment. Call the cops and call the law if they don't defund them.
That's right.
We're going to get them. So, there's always big buttheads out there. You know, that's... Talk about your all's generation compared to mine. That's one set. There's more game now. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. People are a little bit more educated or whatever about certain things. You know, they don't shoot 10 bucks with one freaking tag for one. Well, some of them don't. I'm sure there's still some that do.
Yeah, we know a few.
There's a couple of them.
I think I know one your all's age. I hear brought up all the time up here. We won't say his name. And I hate that. But,
exactly
I mean.
Who you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, we need, you know, young people make mistakes. I did when I was young. Right. Hopefully he straightens up because, you know, we want him to be a good hunter. We want that guy to be a good hunter. I want him to be a good hunter because he might inspire someone else to be a hunter and do the right thing. And it's something that's just, he's been brought up like that, and they made excuses for him to do that. I'm sure we're talking about the same person. Oh, and I ain't going down him, you know, because he's probably a good kid. And hopefully he just gets out of that. I'd like to talk to him. I'd bring him up here and podcast with him. I don't care. But go hunting with him.
Yeah.
But that stuff happened with everybody back in the day. It's just the truth of it. But you could hunt about anywhere back in those days. Mm-hmm. You guys know Alan Grubb. I've had Alan on.
Yeah.
He's from down that area.
Yeah, he killed
one. Seth only killed your big deer a couple years ago?
Did you?
I don't think he knows it, though. He's killed one of my deer, which I ain't going to say one of my deer, because it was a buck I watched for 4 years, I want to say. I got him on camera as a three-year-old, and he was probably pushing 150 as a three-year-old on my uncle's place. And I never seen him that whole season. He came back the next year, had him on camera all summer long in daylight, hunted him all that year, never laid eyes on him. Mm-hmm. And that year, he's 160, 165-inch deer. Came back the next year, he's 170s. Hunted him for two more years, never laid eyes on a deer. And one morning, it was Christmas morning, I remember it like it was yesterday. I woke up, and family and everything, we all ate breakfast, no presents and whatnot, and I told Dad, I said, I'm going to go deer hunting this evening. He talked me out of it. Told me I needed to go over to Mamaw and Papaw so he didn't eat dinner with him. Made me feel bad, so I went.
Right.
Well, next day, I go up there hunting. That deer was in there that morning and that evening. We had like 4 inches of snow on the ground, and it was just perfect. I never laid eyes on him, and then, let's see here, it was that next year he disappeared on me, and I think it was Michael Grubb sent me pictures. I think it was Alan Grubb holding him.
Alan got him?
Yep.
What I was getting to is when I was your all's age, you know, Alan was the first person that I seen doing things the way we all kind of do it now. So I kind of learned from, I didn't know him. I just learned from him doing it the right way, you know what I mean? And then everything's got better. But now, you know, the rich people, you know, and I'm not saying all the rich people, and it's good for them, but that lease in land makes it hard for all of us. I don't know what you can do about it. But I don't know if it's good for the hunting as a whole.
Tough as can be to get permission.
Well, back places. Like I said, back in the day, you could just
right.
I could go to any farmer. Oh yeah,
yeah.
And of course, then you know, not everyone had a four wheeler run all over the fields and crap like that either.
Problem nowadays, we'll talk to farmers and especially goose hunting. We'll find geese in the field, and the farmer's like, "Yeah, I hate geese, this and that." But these younger guys came in last year and rutted up my field and left trash and all their shells.
Listen,
and,
people, why do people do that? I mean, that's just common knowledge, is not?
Yeah, who does that?
I mean, we clean up our mess.
People
time.
Do it all the time. Yeah. I mean, you can take a ride over here in public land and they just beer cans. Yep. And,
I mean, we've got four wheelers and he's got side by sides and we won't even take them with us.
Because we don't want to run up driving it. We're going to walk it in. If they think there's any chance of tearing up the building, we ain't doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll kill ourselves packing equipment before we.
Yeah, just respect the property.
Yeah, before you lose permission on the property.
That's what I'm saying. You're always the new generation coming up. Right. Instead of that one that's screwing everything up for us, all of us. My gosh.
Back to the leases, when we're putting the work every single morning, duck season, trying to find more birds for the next day, I bet we'll knock on, let's just say for the whole entire season, we'll probably knock on, what do you think, 200 doors?
Every bit of
at least. At least 200 doors in Ohio, and I bet 100 of them are leased. Oh, they lease that. Who leases it? Oh, some big corporation.
Yeah, that's
how do you
saying.
Get a hold of them? I don't know.
And just tie it up and probably don't even hunt it.
Yeah, they don't hunt it. Nobody touched it. They just got at least just because. Yeah.
Our best pond, though, in Chillicothe, we worked on getting permission on this pond for 4 days, making phone calls.
Yeah.
I talked to...
So you guys work at it.
People I talked to get permission on.
Yeah.
And finally talked to a lady. She said she owned it. And she said she didn't give two craps what we done. Couldn't right. kill anything we wanted to.
Well, how about the old, the old Kenner farm? Who leases that nowadays? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
You know
about.
There's a big old...
Big slough in the back there.
Slough in there, don't you?
I don't know how to... Who owns it?
And there's always... Well, that lumber company, they...
Mead Paper Company.
Owned it, but I don't...
I don't know who owns it.
I know there's people leasing that. It's a pretty fair price, at, you know.
Yeah.
Probably 20 years ago from what I remember. I don't know. Yeah. But, that's a good...
I don't know if it's any good hunting or not, but...
I see a lot of waterfowl flying through there.
Yeah.
From one area that I hunt. I kind of know where they're going.
Yeah.
We can just get over there.
Yeah.
But anyways, another lease.
Lease.
Problem.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, when young people can't find a place to hunt. Right. You know, you go right across the river here to Ohio. And of course, I know we have the Daniel Boone stuff, but waterfowl-wise, I don't think
there
that's much
nothing.
Count
no.
down there.
There isn't a lot.
Probably got of any... Public land, waterfowl spots around here.
We don't hunt a lot of public land. I know.
Well, you got it like 10 acres down there at
South Soria.
That ain't much, is it?
We've smashed them down there.
I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
See, I was telling about John, John Burton, Big John, and before that was even the public land, he used to hunt down there, and he said he'd smash them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Which you got to catch them in there.
When you
right
catch
the
it right.
Front.
Yeah, when you catch it good, it can be really, really good.
What time do we get down there when it's like 3:30?
Oh, yeah.
3?
Yeah.
I mean, it was 3 or 4 hours for a daylight. And there we are in the truck putting on our waders and walking over there.
Well, you have to get a blind, I guess, don't you? It's a pretty good walk from what I understand. I've been down there, but I haven't been down to the duck blinds.
It's not a terrible walk. It's all downhill, but it's just long.
It sucks coming back out of there with a handful of ducks and a bunch of decoys.
Oh, no doubt. For sure. Man, how about you guys into the coyote hunting? Y'all ain't got time for all that stuff, do you?
I've done it a couple times and I ain't doing a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, we have the waterfowl community and all that, the deer hunting community. Now we have the predator hunters, you know, they're blew up. Some people just love doing it.
Some people do it.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of young trappers coming back. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You have, I've had Nick Biggs on from West Virginia, man. He's a big time trapper. You guys know Tom Miranda. Mm-hmm. He's big time.
Yeah.
You know, Tom. I never knew he was a big trapper until I met Nick and Corey Cox. Dave French from here local. Dave's got into it. You guys probably know Dave.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing a lot of people getting into the trapping and bringing that back. It intrigues me, but I'm not getting into it because I can't afford to do all
this. You can't afford to do anything else.
No. But I still
afford just waterfowl hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, waterfowl is a killer, man. That's for sure.
I kill a bunch of coyotes every year, but I don't do it like coyote hunting. Instead of turkey hunting or deer hunting, you see.
Yeah, not just going out looking for them.
I killed them in the spring, yeah. Second day of season.
Well, I don't know if I've told this. I'll tell you real quick. When I finally come back from Ohio, you know, crying like a baby, he sent me back and I was whining. I grabbed the old 308 and I hadn't rifle hunted forever and I just wanted to do it because I haven't done it forever. I normally tagged out, but because of all the acorns, old dad couldn't get it done early last season in Kentucky. So I jump up a tree, I got my 308. Man, I'm excited. I'm going to pop one at 300 yards for crying out loud. This would be nice. Relax. And here comes this doe, and there's something wrong with her. She had got something wrapped around her neck or something. And I was like, I better shoot her.
Yeah.
And this is awful. Like, someone would get pissed off. Like, they'll be pissed off with your goose anyways. You killed with a shovel.
Yeah.
But, but I'm like, I better, shoot here. Well, there was two or three coyotes bouncing, and it was like a high field. It hadn't been cut. So, you know how they bounce through there? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, gosh. You know, I shoot the coyotes, I shoot her, then shoot the coyotes. I probably should have shot her and then shot the coyotes. But, you know, right off the bat, boom, I shoot a coyote. Mm-hmm. And don't start crying, some of you bleeding hearts. I do have antihunters listening to this, but I hit him in the back or her in the back. Mm-hmm. And when it goes down, it starts howling.
Yeah.
Well, when it howls, I mean, coyotes, like, come from everywhere. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, boom. You know, I was going to finish it off. And this is awful. It's just the truth of it. I was like, I'll finish him off in a second. Because, you know, I got a call out there. I'm sorry. So I pop another one, and he keeps howling. Here comes another one. I pop another one, and then I eject another shell, and I pop one more, I think. And then I hadn't shot that gun. I shot it one time to make sure it was sighted in, but I never tightened my scope mounts, and I hadn't shot it in probably 10 years. So the scope mounts come loose. Now, here I got this coyote out there 250 yards or whatever he is in that high stuff, and I can't leave him out there wounded. And he's like, ah, and there's coyotes running everywhere. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now my gun's thrown off. I can't shoot none of the other coyotes. And he's screaming and hollering. So I'm like, I got to go down there and put him out of his misery, for good God. So I mark a red bush or whatever that he's closest to. Mm-hmm. And when I get out in that field, that stuff's over my head just about.
Yeah.
And then there's patches where I was seeing them in, open patches. And I finally see that red bush. And I'm getting close to it, and I'm taking that gun barrel like this, and I see one little old weed move. And I was like, okay, there he is. Well, he had backed himself up into that red bush. And it's awful, but it is what it is. And I took my gun, and I kind of opened it, and, man, he's looking at me, and he can't go backwards. So, I mean, he came forwards.
Yeah.
I mean, he's broke down, but he still could use his front. And, I mean, I don't know if he's trying to come at me or just, that was his only way out, but he was pissed off, and I would have been too. But, I finished him off. But, good God, there was a lot of coyote shooting. Yeah. I come out there, and that other guy, he's like, good Lord, what's going on?
Sounds like a fun day of deer hunting.
I told him, but I did tell him about that doe, and his boy had seen that doe.
Because
he said, I thought my boy was full of it. I was like, well, I don't know what's around wrapped around it.
Yeah.
But it was, I'll be honest with you, it looked like a big old musky lure.
Really?
What? I mean, I don't know if maybe it was close to the river.
It could have been, then.
So I don't know if maybe the water went down or came up and or something.
Yeah.
And someone had got snagged and somehow she got it wrapped around her.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what it was, but I can't figure out what it was. Right. And it was big.
So there's a good chance of he's close to the river.
Yeah.
Could have been.
And it was like stuck on her mouth. I was like, how's that stuck here? It had to have hooks on it,
in
my opinion. But someone finally got her too, so don't freak out. Coyote died. He's not suffering. He's, off somewhere in a better place.
That's right. Coyote heaven.
So, Preston, how about your deer season? You ready?
I'm pumped.
I know you got cameras up. You got, I mean,
I don't have any big ones yet. No, just little guys.
Yeah,
well, bunch of those. But I've still got two or three cameras I still need to check. One over in Ohio that we went and checked out 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I had mineral there from the year before. And
ripped out.
Hoofprints all in it, and I had 6 deer over 130 inches last year.
Yeah.
And they were all 3 and 4 year olds, so there should be some sport preserved.
It never fails. He's going to have a deer dead usually the first or second weekend of September.
Yeah. He likes to get it early, don't you? Get it over with.
Yep.
We always give him a hard time because he's telling me he's
lucky. It is, man. It's a good time, especially in Kentucky. Yeah. And then than Ohio, you can concentrate on a rut. You guys have any plans ever going anywhere else deer hunting? I know you're waterfowling, but you probably don't. But
I've never really thought about deer hunting. Yeah. I've thought about elk and stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to go out west.
I would like to do that.
Early season mule deer hunt, maybe.
You know, deer hunting, where we know the terrain and the land around here. I mean, for someone to come out of town to hunt, you know, I would never suggest doing that in this area. Mm-hmm. But for us, knowing it, we live in a pretty good area to deer hunt.
And I didn't realize how good it was until I started going to school out to Morehead State, and all the guys I talked to there about deer hunting, I tell them I was from Greenup, and they're like, oh, man, y'all got giant bucks down there.
Yeah.
I was like, well, average deer, I guess.
And Lewis County's been known for big bucks, but everything's leased up once again in Lewis County now. Good night.
Yeah.
Leasing crap up. Rich people.
To be one of them.
Yeah, maybe one of these days. Maybe one of these days. I don't know. It's more fun when you have to go out there and earn it, ain't it? My opinion.
It is, until somebody comes in behind you and leases it out.
It happens, man. Deer season two, or you get some. I got some stories I can't tell on here. Some other people do some stupid stuff. Well, man, we burn up over an hour already. I appreciate you guys coming up.
Yeah, no problem.
Spend some time up here. We'll get this up and bring your buddies up. We'll get all this running, get the video equipment going. We're like that close.
Yeah.
And I could have messed with it for another hour, but I just can't deal with it. We done that last night. So we'll be rolling, and you guys, you know, come back up. You're getting married soon.
Yep, January 9th, I think.
You better come back up before January then.
I know.
We can't hardly get him out of the house anymore. He just won't let him go nowhere.
Well, that happens. That happens, man.
That's I got too many hobbies.
Yeah. Well, you got to pick and choose your battles now.
Yep. All right.
And then when you get my age and all the kids are gone, you can just
do whatever you want.
Yeah, you just do what you want. You're like egg with it. You know. They make them every day. If she listens to this podcast, I wouldn't say that.
You're in trouble.
Hey, I appreciate you all listening. Preston Meadows, Matthew Robson, Duck Hunters, the new generation, the real generation, not that middle generation, in between us and them. Shoot, good Lord. I don't know what's wrong with them people. We're out there burning the damn cities down right now, for crying out loud. And I ain't talking about one specific race or anything like that. All of them.
Everybody.
Antifa. Could you imagine them coming in there swinging their little hands at us down here in the 606? How long would that last?
About one day. One bullet.
I just built an AR, so that's what I built it for.
Well, it'd be just... we can't get on that, but I'm just saying. I was thinking about that day. Could you imagine Antifa coming in here?
No.
They wouldn't last.
They really wouldn't.
I mean,
some of these rednecks out in the sticks would live.
Why? You know, the people my age, and your dad can tell you, you know, our generation, we didn't have nothing to do but fight each other.
Right.
I mean, you want to fight? Yeah, sure, I'll fight. You know, all these people in the 40s be like, yeah.
Me and him was wrestling around the yard the other day.
Yeah. Like, we got a lot of energy around here in 606.
That's right.
Yeah, leave our wrestling alone. We'll see y'all later.